Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, I don't hear anything.
Bernard?
Yes, what's going on?
Oh, man, I'm just talking, and nothing was
coming
out.
No, I can't hear a thing, right. So, I guess
talking.
We're on the air now. It says
we
have 59 minutes.
Yeah, we are on the air, so let me set it up again.
Thank you.
So this is going to be a very special show tonight. We're going to be exploring the distinction, no right way to be. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to, I guess we could call it its predecessor, last month we had a show on All There Is to Do Is Be. If you hadn't had a chance to listen to that show, I invite you to go back to blacksummit.org/talkshow and pull up the what would have been the March, the beginning of March show, March 2nd, I think it was. at any rate, so I'm expecting this to be a pretty juicy show as well. And welcome, Lenar. How art thou?
About to make you real wrong. So I'm going to start this show off as there is a right way to do some stuff. So that's what I said. I was going to mess with you. So you want to do the rest of whatever you're going to talk about, or can I just go ahead on and get into it?
Well, since you already know there is a right way, and I believe we have another caller on the phone who might even have there's a right way to do something, this is going to be a great show. Because we're not talking about there's a right way to do. We're talking about there's a right way to, is there a right way to be? So, yeah, go for it. And who's the other caller on the line?
Clara.
Hey, Clara, how
are
you?
I'm good. I made it.
Okay, welcome to the Lion's Den.
and that's the right place to be.
All right, Lenar, go for it.
Okay, so I said, you know, I'm going to get on here and I'm going to talk about John because he did not send out the notice. And we talked about this and we said there was a right way to do it. You know, you set it up so that you schedule it so you don't have to go back in there and worry about it. And you said you were going to send out something. I have a witness, right, Clara?
Well, actually, in John's defense, he didn't say that he was going to do it.
Yes, he did. It's on tape. I have it recorded, so I don't need you to back me up, Claire. It's recorded.
I did send out something.
Where? When?
Today.
Oh, let me check. I looked at my email. I didn't have anything. So let me verify this. I'm making you wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Turn around and make me wrong. Shoot. So I'm going to tell this on the air. Air our dirty laundry.
But you are absolutely right. I did promise to send it out earlier this week, and I did not do that.
Thank you.
And, you know, I had intended to send it out on Friday, and I did not do that. And then I intended to send it out on Saturday, and I didn't do that as well. And so today I said to myself, you know, it's the last minute. Should I send it out or not? And so I sent it out anyway. You know, standing inside of this distinction, there's no right way to be, because I had been being that I messed up. And it would make no difference. You know, it would make no difference to communicate anything about it right now. And
well,
so
I don't know.
I put that aside, and I sent it out anyway.
All right. I see it, you know, at 6:20 Eastern Standard Time. I see it. So, and Clara, he did say he would send it out for Friday. So, and yes, he sent something out today. Standing in, there's no right way to be.
I guess, Lenard, what I'd like to ask is why that triggers you.
I'm not triggered.
Okay.
Because she came on the call with there's a right way to do things, which
right.
I think is perfect as we look at and distinguish there's no right way to be or no right way to be. I don't know if there's no right way to be, but, you know, the distinction, no right way to be. So one of the things that I'm already hearing as other people will begin to join this call, I'm already hearing one of the places to distinguish no right way to be is distinguish it from right way to do something. So what are you beginning to see there, Lenar? Because, you know, you came on the call with a vengeance because there is a right way to do something. So are you beginning to see something distinct from is there a right way to be about something?
No, because I just decided I was going to come on the call and say that. I don't have anything going on about it. I don't really care. It's your show. You know, if you don't want to send out a notice in a timely fashion, you know, or in what I consider a timely fashion for my show, that's up to you. It's your show. And I just said I was going to say something about it on the show, so I did. So I don't have nothing going on about it.
That was Clara who asked you about the trigger. I'll just ask you in general as we begin to distinguish it. I think it's great what you said, and I'm clear you don't have anything going on about it.
Okay, good.
That's fine. Yeah, I want to distinguish it because you actually brought up a very, very, very valid point.
About,
you know, sometimes people hear the right way to be, and they interact with it as no right way to do something.
Right. And so that was all I can give you back is that that was a good noticing that there is the distinction is not about there's no right way to do something. The distinction is there's no right way to be. And what so that was good. That's, you know, pretty much what I have to offer. That was very good. And so I see that.
This is Claire. What's really present for me right now is how we be about when we feel someone is not doing the right way to do something, like how we be about them doing it, you know. Like I look at situations with, you know, my daughter or my husband or my client. Or myself, you know, when I don't do or they don't do a particular thing, and then how I be about them not doing it. And, you know, I got present to there's room for a full expression of how I be about their doing or my doing. You know, like I get to choose how I'm going to be about it. You know, and I can be happy or I can be sad or I can be in upset or I could be in noticing or I could be in, you know, just nonchalantness about it, you know, like there's a lot of ways to be about it. you know, our daughter just came out of this mad teasing session from the kids outside, and she was very upset about it, you know, and I'm being compassionate and nurturing, and my husband is being kids or kids, get over it, you know. So if there's a lot of ways we be about in terms of how we react to the doing that's going on around us, or what people are doing around us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So you're saying there's how people, how we might do something, and then there's some choice in the matter of how you're going to be about it, where you're going to be happy, sad, angry, elated, excited, are all valid ways of being about it.
Right. And inside of that, there's no, you know, one is not any better or any worse than the other. It's just how you're being about it in the moment.
Right. But now, typically, as we look at life, though, what would you say is your experience, let's say before you got completely grounded, and I'm saying completely grounded, I'm being very gracious because we're all human beings, right? Before you got completely grounded in the distinction that you had so many choices to, you know, to pick from, how would you normally have interacted with it?
Well, I probably, my being about it would have been like, that's all that was possible. Like in being in an upset stage, it's like in that moment, upset is all there is. I don't have any other choices. And I'm right in being upset. You know, I'm right in being, you know, angry, whatever. You know, I'm right in being, feeling however I feel about it. And just the word that you said, grace, you know, like giving myself grace and giving myself permission to be in the space of whatever emotion I'm feeling in the moment and separating that out from the doing or the action that's actually occurring. And so it gives me the freedom to have and express that emotion, and then when I'm done with it, then I can, like, look at what's really going on and say, you know, okay, I was upset in this moment. I don't have to be upset about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It, like, it doesn't change the action. It doesn't change what was done or not done. You know, it's just I get to choose how I can be about that particular action.
Okay.
And I can give myself permission to emote, like that's a space that's okay. And then when I'm done with that, you know, I can move on.
Okay, good. We have another caller on the line. Area code 805. Caller,
yes.
Are you there?
Yes, this is James Gilmore. I was invited to the call by my good friend Lennar.
Hi, James. How are you?
Fabulous.
Wonderful. We're just starting in this dialogue around this distinction, no right way to be. So if you like, just jump right in. We're going to be looking at, I would say, the what is it, what is not, what we see about it, what works about it, what doesn't work about it, you know, as we just distinguish it out loud for ourselves. And I just invite all of us as we're kind of clearing on this distinction to look at where we are today and look at places in our lives right now where we're using it or where we're noticing that maybe there is a right way to be or we're being that there is a right way to be. So welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And just jump right in, my friend.
Right. The first thing that came to me, well, first of all, now I mentioned the topic. I asked what was the topic, and I was hoping to hear something really juicy and tantalizing. And then when she mentioned the topic that you guys have, I started laughing. It was just humorous to me. And And the first thing that came to me is about, like, workability. So it's like after discussing right way to be, right way to do, it's like what's the workability? Because, you know, one could philosophize about it, but the workability is going to be like where the rubber meets the road about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the workability could be from various finish points. Workability for what the group have in mind, or what either the individuals in have in mind, based on the agreements in place. You know, so the workability becomes like fundamental to me in the discussion.
Okay, good. You have an example about that?
Yeah. I mean, I could create an example. But it's like the workability. It's like, Lenar and I are good buddies, and we were just discussing this about, we both are very consistent with showing up for breakfast appointments with each other and all that. But then, you know, we were just discussing, like, someone didn't show up, how both of us would handle that. So that would be a workability situation. You have an appointment with someone, and they don't show up and don't communicate. So in terms of, you know, the workability is missing. You know, you had an agreement. You took the time to get to the appointment. They didn't show up. So that's obviously not working for the person who was there with their time and, you know, waiting, and the person never showed up without any communication.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say there's no right way to be or do, the workability becomes more practical to me.
Well, I hear the part about the workability, and I hear your cut on the workability. I'm not quite clear about the way you be about it, you know, and whether or not there is a right way to be about workability.
Okay, I guess it boils down to choice. It's like like you're committed to something working or not working, and of course, if you're committed to it working, the only thing left is everybody have agreements in place about it, and then either people are keeping their agreements or they're not keeping their agreements. Because the fact of the matter is, in most cases, if one or more of the people aren't keeping their agreements, it's not working for what they had intended.
So then how do you feel about that?
For me, it's like I would have a conversation with a person about whether they were authentic about what they agreed to, because, you know, I know that I sometimes agree to stuff, and when I don't follow through, I'm like, you know, I really didn't want to do that anyway, so let me just start being honest that I agreed to do something I really didn't want to do, which means that the workability, the essence of the workability is out of place and out of integrity from the beginning, and one gets to see that by what shows up.
Okay, so that's what you get to see?
Yeah, I mean, I get to see for myself, for myself especially, I get to see, you know, because it's like, it's easy to BS oneself about, you know, you ask me about, you know, will you be the guest on the call next week? And you ask me to be the guest on the call, and I can say yes to you, and if a client calls me and say the only time I could meet with you or talk with you is next week this same time, then I'm going to call you back and say, I won't be on that call. You know, if I couldn't get this client to schedule any other time. So that's not necessarily the same thing where I didn't have the intention. It's just what's really there gets to be revealed in the actions that people take or don't take, or that I take or don't take. I think what's really there gets to be revealed. You know,
okay, good.
Like, for instance, Lenar has invited me to come to a Bulls game a couple times. And both times I declined, but if she said the Bulls are playing the Lakers, then it's like I'd have been there. So it's like,
you know, this is a Tracy person. $55 tickets, he's free. So I invited him to come for free, mind you, but the Lakers not playing. So that's,
it
you
was,
know.
It wasn't workable for me because the Lakers weren't playing.
But, you know, that is really interesting. That whole workability gives you a whole lot of latitude.
Well,
not good. You know, I'm not saying that's good or bad, but it gives you a whole lot of latitude. And I was just sitting here going over in my mind that if I had invited you to be a guest on the show, and there was a client, and the other time, the client could not meet you any other time than the time you scheduled to be on the show. That wouldn't be workable for me.
Okay, I got you. So you highlighting something important is like it'll be workable for me to meet that client and close that deal, and it won't be workable for you that I'm not showing up. But then here's the thing is, you know, the client, hopefully the client had enough professionalism to, well, it may not be about professionalism. Hopefully I got the appointment where I had time enough to call you so you could have a replacement. You know, it would definitely not be like me calling you 5 minutes before and say, you know, I'm not going to be on that call. The client just called me.
Well,
you know,
no, see, this is real good because this gets to expose my right way to be about things.
Very good.
Because, see, that's what this show is about, right? No right way to be. And I'm just looking in my own life at where I have, there are some right way to be.
The right way to be is for me to tell that client you and I are going to have to reschedule or schedule some other time because I got an appointment to be on this show.
That might be the right thing to do if there was a right thing to do. But I'm like just looking in my own life. Like if you done that to me, then I'd be pretty pissed off.
Right.
You invite me to be on your show again. I probably wouldn't invite you to be on the show again. I'd be pretty pissed off. I'd be a tyrant about it. I'd probably be righteous about it. I'd probably make you very wrong about dissing me. And then I would beat myself up for being that because I know better.
That's good.
You know, like in terms of there's a right way to be. Like if I didn't have access to that, I could be any way I wanted to be about it, I probably would just be upset about it, and that would be it.
Right.
And when I heard the name James Gilmore, I'd be like, you know what? This said to me, you fill in the blank. And then, you know, I would have nothing else to say to you. You know, but fortunately, I do have access to looking at it and being compassionate and looking in my own life as to what I've done in that situation and so on and so forth. But the knee-jerk reaction would have been, you know what? This is bull. And as we're distinguishing this, I know for a long time that's how I was about things. And I would feel the way that I would feel, and that would be the way that I would feel, and sometimes it would thwart what I'm committed to, sometimes it would get in the way. And I'm not so far gone now at this point that I'm not like that today. I get to see it all the time. So as we look at this thing you're calling workability, you know, one of the things that I'm hearing that there may be some right way to be for you about workability.
Well, workability kind of like boils down to be like the results, either the results that is intended is happening or it's not, and then one gets to make a choice about what they're going to do if it's not occurring. You know, so it's, you can have a choice. I'm a partner with two doctors in a clinic, and the workers are due to be paid. So for those workers, it's like the workability is y'all get the money to us for the work we've done so we can take care of our families, or do whatever we want to do with this money that we've contracted to work for. So the workability and the results is like, you know, there's an agreement in place. People are provided the service. So it's my job and my partner's job to create the money to honor our agreement with those people. So it just boils down to to results, really. And then when you talk about results, if someone has provided a service to you and you had an agreement with them prior to providing the service of what you was going to do to compensate them, it's just boiled down to doing what you have to do to keep your integrity with that person.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's so results, workability, you know, choices, integrity. It's like all, you know, knitted together.
This is so good. This is so good. I love the male energy. So now you were saying that you and Lenar were having a conversation, and I know Lenar has a specific conversation about people doing what they say they were going to do when they say they were going to do it. So I just want to check in with your partner to just find out if in Lenar, in your life, if someone agrees to do something by a specific time, what's your knee-jerk reaction to being with them when they don't do that, when they don't honor that?
Now, in some ways, I feel like I'm being set up. because now the world is going to know my thing. So this is my thing. You know, the first couple of times, that it's fine. I will say something the first time, but you know I'm not pleased with that behavior. And I think it was you who gave me that phrase. I can always get more money. I can't ever get any more time. So my time is valuable. I'm investing my time with you because I don't agree to meet or talk with a whole lot of people. I mean, if you get to talk with me, like, you're something, you're somebody, so it's like, please. And so, you know, I'll be there. The next time that happens, now my temperature's rising, and they're on my list. And it's a very short list because you get on that list, and the next thing, you're gone. You know, so it's a very short list. So should that happen a third time, there won't be a fourth one. You understand? Because now the list is gone. Like, it's been set on fire, incendiary. You understand what I'm saying? It's gone because there's not a purpose for this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my, like, my knee-jerk doesn't happen like, it's like I have a plan already in place, so I don't have to knee jerk, you know, because I have my plan and I know my plan, and so that's my plan.
And there's no right way you be about that, right?
No, because I work my plan. I that's what works for me.
It's a plan.
I work my plan. I work my plan.
And the plan has compassion because she has a lot more compassion than I might have.
I work my plan.
Wow. Okay, great. So now, can you
but
see...
But here's the thing. May I say this? That the people who do this don't know I have a plan.
They don't know.
No.
They don't know they're on the list.
No. They just stop hearing from me. Or when they call, I have no further time is invested with them.
But I think by the third time, they get the message by then.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, they stood you up three times. I think after that, they know what's going on. But the whole question is, why would, not why, but it's like obviously it's an integrity issue when you go get in those scenarios that you have to be taking people off your list and things like that. I think most people who got relationships they care about, then they, you know, after it happened, they let the person know, you know, this didn't work for me. You know, this was inconvenient. You didn't honor your word. You know, you stood me up and I waited there. Didn't get no communication from you. And by the time it's happened a second time, it's like there's a pattern that's being displayed here. So, you know, it's just, you know, it's like, it's just obviously at that point you're just dealing with reality. Here's the reality. Here's what's so. And how do I just relate to what's so? How do I have a relationship with reality and what's so at this moment?
It's really
oh,
this
you,
is
yeah. Yeah. Hello?
Oh yeah, this is Clara. I'd just like to add a different perspective to this. This is really interesting for me because I have a friend who's very I'm not speaking of Lenore. I have another friend who's a plan person. And for me, as I'm a semi-plan person. I have a lot more flexibility, more patience, and I don't create a lot of demands on other people. So when I get to a place, I'm getting to the place of just saying no to requests. Like I have this tendency to want to please the people that I really care about, but I find with plan people, if you disappoint them, that's worse than just telling them no. And so I'm getting to the point where I can say no, one, so that I won't be out of integrity, but then, like with my one girlfriend, she still gets really, because she's not getting her way, you know, she wants me to be a particular way. There's still, you know, feelings and upset about it, and I don't know if she's conscious of it or not, but I'm aware of it, and I notice it, and I go, wow, you know. But what I got for myself is I can't stand in that space of, you know, filling everybody else's needs for what they want. Like I can't be what everyone wants in the moment. And you gave the example of, you know, if it was the Lakers, then that would be a yes for you. But because it's not the Lakers, you have your set of priorities. And in the space of no right way to be, I honor that. And so mine might be, you know, if I'm juggling a lot of things, certain clients might have more priority than other clients. Like a client who's going to close in 10 to 30 days has more priority than a client that's going to close in, you know, 3 to 6 months. And so I will arrange my schedule as such. So I think we all have our pecking order about certain things, especially in business. Personal, that kind of swings more different ways, because if my husband calls me, you know, or my daughter or my mother calls me and needs something, I will rearrange my day to accommodate them. So, you know, it's a whole different scenario, but the bottom line is I get to choose, and I'd like to allow other people the space of whatever choice they make, not to judge them for it. So when I think of no right way to be, you know, when I get to the point where I'm like judging the other person for the choice they make, I tell myself, okay, there's no right way to be. They're being in a way that's best for them. And, you know, I gain freedom, you know, freedom from my emotions, freedom from upset by allowing that space to occur for other people and allowing that space to occur for myself.
I have a question. So if people make agreements with you and
mm-hmm.
they don't keep those agreements, and those agreements may be very costly in terms of time, or maybe even someone made an agreement to do some work for you in your house and you paid them a retainer and they did a sloppy job and they
mm-hmm.
refused to finish it. And so,
mm-hmm.
in other words, there's agreements that someone made that you have, it's impacting you, them not keeping it. How do you respond to that? How do you be about that?
How I be about that is that life is a journey, and all the things that break down are for experience and for growth. So I look at the situation, and I say, okay, God, what was it I was supposed to get out of the situation? Why is this occurring to me? Like, what am I supposed to get out of that? So in a situation where a contractor doesn't do that, so what I get out of that is next time maybe I need to do some more research about how I select contractors. You know, now I have a different set of criteria because I can hone in on what's more important to me. So each experience is a learning experience. It helps me have a perspective that I wouldn't have had before if I hadn't gone through that experience.
I want you to lay hands on me when you see me in person, okay?
James.
I want some of that. I want some of that. Whenever you just get through talking about how you respond and there's a lesson in here and you're gracious, I want some of that.
And so, James, what would your response be?
Well, my response would be with the contractor. I would find out who referred them, because, you know, I don't necessarily know contractors, so if someone referred them, I would go back to the person who referred them and say, could you use your relationship to get this person to have the integrity and professionalism out of their agreement? And, of course, at some point, I would definitely, you know, have my upset about it, and at some point, I would let it go, but probably not before I've let that person go. So I do have a list, too, and after a couple times, the list is like, I'm just not going to interact with this person anymore. You know, like I have an associate of mine who's an attorney. I paid some money in a situation, and I lost my money. So I'm gracious and generous and compassionate. So I had another situation that I could use him. So, you know, I'm like, okay, this, you know, hopefully that was a one-time thing, and this person, I let him know this is important to me that this get handled, and I want you to handle it. And then the second time, I end up losing the money again. So it wasn't the money. It's like, it's like I don't want to deal with this individual anymore. I don't want to deal with him anymore. You know,
so the way you so the way you be about it is I'm through with you.
That after like you know I have compassion when I choose that compassion, but now if it happened one time I let it go. I can be around you, say hello, whatever. But if I kind of like go beyond the call of duty, the second time I have compassion with you, I'm going to trust you. After that major breakdown, then after that is like I'm through with you. And that's why I say I want her to lay hands on me when I see her. Because that's like profoundly enlightened. It's, Dalai Lama, Mother Teresa, Mandela level. You know, it's like very profound. I love it. I mean, I love it, and I definitely am looking to get some of that. I'm just not there right now.
And it doesn't say that we don't, you know, if someone, you learn from your experience. And if your experience consistently tells you you touch the stove and you get burnt, well, you learn not to touch the stove. So we do have a survival mechanism, you know, and that's what it's there for, you know. So
well, it's the same whether you're talking about somebody standing you up for a second or third time at a breakfast or a dinner engagement, or whether somebody did not follow through on a financial arrangement the first time, you know. So if you're gonna protect yourself the next time, then the plan is they screw me once, they won't get a chance to do it again. Or
right.
You choose to have compassion, you give them, you talk that up to, who knows, they were going through some stuff and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, you talk with them and let them know, you know, do we have agreement about this? And, you know, the person either is going to keep their agreement that second time or they're not. And at some point you're going to not enter in those kind of agreements with them. But for me, it's like if I have to be around people, what's your name on the phone, brother?
John.
Yeah.
John. So if I have to be around John, watching my back with John, that's just too much work for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just choose not to be around John.
Right.
You know, friendship or relationship, you know, if the friendship or relationship is not honored to the point that I can't loan you money or deal with you financially, then that's about the relationship to me. That's the trust, that's integrity, that's the whatever that's there has been revealed by that repeated situation or pattern. And
right.
I would not be with that person, not because I hate them, but it's just too much for me to think about to have my back around people when I'm around them or watching them. That's not very peaceful to me.
Right.
So I learned a lesson with the money thing. I learned a lesson from Lennar. So I have family members, obviously, you know, they're in my life and I'm in their life. So now I just give them money. If they have a need or something come up and they've had situations where they borrow money two or three times and then pay it back, and I definitely still got some stuff around that, I'll just, if it's a legitimate need, I'll just give them the money. And I won't enter into that domain of I'm going to trust you to have integrity with paying me my money back. So I got that from Lennar. We're all still there?
Yeah, I was just, I guess the thought that occurs for me in, you know, this whole thing of no right way to be, we're all cool in the way we be, and we all have our ways of how, you know, we deal and handle people and situations. And that's like the beauty of No Right Way to Be for me, is just allowing each person to be who they are, like fully, allowing them to be who they are and having them, you know, allow me to be who I am, and that'd be okay.
Whenever somebody hears you say that, it's like, that sounds like it's this circle that the two people don't enter, because once they enter it and start making agreements with each other, then there's ways of being, you know, it's like they may be a certain way that I don't want to deal with. So it sounds like it's just like there's a circle that I don't enter. It sounds and feels funny to me. It sounds spiritual, and it's like the workability. Like, I'm friends with Lenar, and it's like letting her be the way she's going to be and just accepting that. It's like, no, she's my friend. I trust her, and if I talk to her about something confidential, I expect that to stay between me and her, and allowing her to be the way she wants to be, which means that she may be where she wants to gossip to Lorraine about it. And, no, I'm not going to be okay if she gossips Lorraine about something which I intended for her to keep confidential.
Okay, so, Lorraine's not on this show. Let's not talk about Lorraine.
Okay. If she mentioned it to somebody that when I told her to keep it to herself.
So, this is Lenar, and Claire, you know, that was the other thought I had to start out the show. I was like, well, I could just come on and say, you know what, that's absolutely right. There's no right way to be. There's a way to be. There are ways to be. It's just no right way. And that's, you know, really what I heard you saying, and that's my sense about it. And James, in my world, it's not a circle. It really is knowing that I have a way I like to do things, and you talk about that circle. Yeah, so when there are people who enter my life, my space, and that's what they encounter, my way of being. And I know it's not the right way to be. It's a way for me to be, and it's what works for me. And up to a certain degree now, and I have to say that up to a certain point, I'll be with other people's way, and hopefully there's a harmonious commingling of them. And when it's not, it's not no fault, no blame. You know, it's no fault, no blame. It's just like you were saying, workability. This doesn't work for me, and it's not that there's anything wrong with you or wrong with me. It's just not what I want, and period. It's just not the way I desire and intend to have it be in my life. And that's a way to be, too, and not necessarily a right way.
Exactly. So let me ask this question.
That was good. I like that, Lenar. That was good.
Yeah. Let me ask this question. Have you noticed in your life anywhere where you kind of have a fixed way of being about something, and it's not having you get what you want? It's not having you fulfill on your commitment, your vision, your dreams. So I'd just like to just turn the conversation, you know, in a slightly different direction to have us actually look to see if there's any areas where we have, I'm going to say a right way of being. We can say a fixed way of being or a way that we normally approach it, and look to see if you're noticing any places like that that's not having you get what you want out of life.
Well, I'll just go and respond. So one of the things I noticed when I was responding to, is it Claire?
Clara.
Clara. So I noticed that I was feeling the energy of my emotions. And so it's like one of the things that's not present is that the piece that she was mentioning that I want her to lay hands on me so I could have that assist me with, the piece is not there fully with that response. It's like I'm clear that there's something that offers more peace than the way I'm being about it, which has been a fixed way of being up until now. And
do you have any particular example that you're talking about?
Well, just about, you know, what we were talking about earlier, that, you know, that at this time in the conversation up until now, before this conversation, then this conversation, there's a fixed way of being about that. And I also noticed that it's not, the results are not very peaceful. I have a fixed way of being about it, responding to when people don't keep their agreements with me. And it's not fulfilling the energy of peace within myself and how I'm responding to what's going on.
Wow.
So if you want to say peace is what I want to get, that way of being is totally not getting peace. It may save me from further situations to deal with the agreements not being met, but the peace is definitely not there.
I got you. Like, one of the things that I get from this particular distinction, no right way to be, is that it gives me room to be however I need to be effective. You know, like, typically, I'm not an angry kind of person. You know, I'll be the first to tell you I'm very righteous, right? Very, very righteous. You know, I do believe there are some right ways to do things, and I believe that. And my believing that doesn't always have those things get produced. And what I've noticed for myself with this particular distinction is that when I need to be angry about something or generate being angry about something in order to produce a result, I got the latitude to do that. Or if I need to be quiet or reserved, I have the latitude to do that. You know, or if I have to be informative or authoritative, I have the latitude to do that. So what comes up for me is I get a whole lot more room in the ways that I can be to produce something or to cause something or, you know, to be effective at whatever it is I'm out to accomplish. Whereas,
do you have an example of that?
Pardon?
Do you have an example of that in your life, John?
Let me see. Which one do I want to use?
And I'm chuckling because John and I talk all the time, so I know the brother has a plethora, a storehouse.
Which one do I want to use? I guess the one simple one is that I started working as the director of marketing for a real estate company in January. And I got there, and I was so gung-ho about what we were going to do and what we were going to implement and so on and so forth. And I just knew that all these sales agents were going to be excited about what's going to happen and all of that. And so after kind of getting a lay of the land and finding out what's happening in the real estate market here and looking at the marketplace and looking at who the major players are, I decide we probably need to meet. So I talk with the general manager, who just happens to be my mom, and we're just having a conversation, and she says, you know, I think it's time to have a meeting. And so we're back in what we call the pit of the office, which is like a big open area. And during that time, everybody in the open area said, yeah, let's have a meeting. So we scheduled a meeting, And then the day of the meeting, as I'm reminding everybody we want to meet, one agent is like, well, I don't have time to meet. I got to go. I there's some things I need to take care of at home, right? So I'm like, okay. And then another agent is like, I've been in the military for 20-something years, and I got out of the military because meetings make no difference. They don't make no damn sense. There's no need for us to meet. We can meet back here, right? And so, of course, my knee-jerk reaction was, F them. That was my knee-jerk reaction because I was like, my knee-jerk reaction was, the meeting really was for them. You know, at least that's what I said at the time. But the meeting was for me to get a sense of what they needed. And somehow that didn't get communicated. And there's this uproar in the office. Well, we're not going to meet. And I'm like talking to one of the agents and he's saying, well, I don't see why we need to meet because we could just meet back here. I said, well, you know, we all need to be on the same sheet of music. I said, well, one of the reasons we got to meet is because we can't even agree whether or not we need to meet or not. But I noticed I was being very righteous about it. Very that it must go down this way. Interacting with other people that were being very similar. And what I saw for myself, and I shared this with my mom, I said, oh, I know what it is. Actually, I shared it with my wife first, Lisa. I said, they're just not enfolded.
Right.
They're just not enfolded. And so, here's what we'll do. We're going to have a meeting. We are going to meet. And I'm going to enfold them into meeting. And then they'll have a choice whether to attend or not. And I noticed in my shifting that position, the space in the office started to shift. And even though we hadn't had that particular meeting yet, you know, one agent is like, well, you know, I think we need to sit down and talk about how we want to move forward.
Beautiful.
And then the other agent, it's like, while he doesn't want to meet, he comes into my office to give me little tips and techniques, right? And I'm like real clear that there's no right way to do this. You know, I got what I got, and I just got to keep looking for what it's going to take to forward what it is that I'm committed to. In that office. So that would be one example.
Okay, that was a profound example. I was inspired. I was touched, moved, and inspired by that example.
Okay.
That's ILP language.
ILP language, touched, moved, and inspired.
Yeah, I was definitely touched, moved, and inspired. So between being inspired by you and the other sister laying hands on me, I think I'm going to be all right.
You might be all right. And so what I invite us to look at here, even though we got a lot of facility, or, you know, it seems as though we got facility with the distinction, just beginning to look more at how we can expand that facility with it. I think Clara is you know, like you say, you know, touch, you know, lay hands. I mean, it's just so soft and gentle and understanding. And see, I am not that. I am not soft, gentle, and understanding all the time. I gotta work to get to that place. So having some room to not beat myself up for being that way or not being that way actually is pretty cool for me.
You know what? I'm hearing Clara, soft, gentleman, understanding. I'm like, that's not the Clara I know. So like, boy.
Well, Clara's been working, see?
I have to work.
Cause it's like, there's a line. There is a line.
Right.
And you don't cross that line. That's my experience of Clara. Now, so I've been listening to all of this. I'm like, where did that girl go? Well, no, who? Where is this girl and where did Clara go? You know, who's this person? So this has been very interesting.
Yeah, I do have to work at it. But what's cool about the summit for me is that the distinctions give me a place to, like, it gives me the tools to, like, work through it.
And I want you guys to pay attention to the first part she said. I do have to work at it, so don't gloss over that, fellas.
it's work daily, just, you know. And where it's most present for me is, you know, in that space, if I'm not getting what I want right now, I have to look and say, okay, there's no right way to be, so... You know, what's my intention? What am I holding for myself? And John, you asked the question, you know, when we're in our particular way of being, you know, how does it, how does it prosper us, right? And and really the first step for me is like, okay, what's my true intention? And we had a conversation at one of our meetings where we said, you know, what are you really committed to? You know, what's the true intention behind, you know, what's going on in the moment? And so that's where I look. I say, okay, what do I really, really want? What's my intention? So I hurt my wrist. And yesterday I actually went to emergency, and I was, you know, I had clients in the morning, and I came home, and I'm just in excruciating pain, which for me is very unusual. And so, you know, Ed's gone, whole nine yards. I'm like, oh. So I have this experience. I call my husband on his cell phone, and I don't normally get him. But I wasn't going to call. And I'm like, that's stupid. You hurt. You need to get to, you know, some assistance. And I called, and I said, you know, I really need to go get my armor x-ray to see what's going on, why I'm having all of this pain. And he was kind of like, well, you know, what do you want me to do? So... In my thing, I wanted someone just like to take care of me and handle it, and I didn't have to think because I was in pain. And I got that's not who he was being. But my intention was to get my arm healed. Like, that was the most important. So I had to get over he couldn't be that person in the moment and say, okay, I need to go to the hospital. You know, I need to call our doctor to find out is there some process, because I'm new in this part of the state. We're going to... I've never been to emergency here. You know, what does it look like? What is it, you know? And so we worked through it, but I was getting upset in the moment because it was like, I'm not getting my way. I want to be taken care of. I want him just to handle it, right? And that was an occurrence. I had to give that up. And my intention was to get medical attention immediately. So he's like, well, do you want me to come home now? Yes, come home now. You know, I can't drive. I need you to take me to the doctor, to the emergency, wherever I need to go so they can address the situation. And that was work. And I had to keep telling myself, okay, there's no right way to be. He's being him. And, you know, I have this imaginary thing that I think I need right now. Well, no. The real intention is that I get to medical care and I get addressed immediately. That's the number one priority. You know, get over all the other stuff. And so it's work. I mean, it's a constant, you know, working at it. You know, I go to get in the car, and he doesn't open the door. And I'm looking at him like, I cannot open the door. I am in excruciating pain. And maybe you don't understand that, but open the door, you know. So it's just like, it's difficult for me at times to make a request of what I really need sometimes, because I'm pretty self-sufficient. But it's like, but no, it's work, you know, it's work. And not to make the other person wrong, you know, for the way they're being, because, you know, he has his own set of issues and things that were going on with his day and things that were occurring, you know, and then he's got to jump into my space and be where I am at that particular moment. And, you know, on his side, he's probably saying, okay, there's no right way to be. She's going through what she's going through. You know, let me bridge. And later he said that. He says, I don't mean to upset you. You know, I want to be there for you. I want you to be happy. I want you to be, you know, comfortable. Just tell me what I need to do so that I can be that for you. And I,
wow,
could, I get you're going through a lot right now. So he didn't make me wrong for being the way I was being about it. You know, because
well,
in the moment.
What were you being? You were in pain and you wanted a door open and you needed assistance.
Right, and so, I got that.
Yeah, but I'm saying, well, you weren't being there's being demanding when it's something you could do for yourself, but, you know, someone's there to make a request is not being demanded.
Right, but I was in the space of I shouldn't have to ask. Like, when he's sick, you know, I cater to him, I pamper him, I'm psychic, you know. I meet his needs before he expresses them. You know, honey, do you need food? Do you, you know, I'm like all over it. You know, and here I'm in a space of needing, really, really needing something and feeling like, well, damn, why I got to ask for it? You know, and that was me saying it's, you know, it should be a particular way. And I had to get over that, like, immediately. Otherwise, I was going to be upset about it. And,
right,
you know, like I said, that allows me no freedom. You know, that let me get my pain thing handled and situated. And the growth part, when I was talking about that growth, the experience gives you the growth was, well, dang, Clara, just make a request. It's okay just to ask for what you need.
Right.
You know, that simple.
What's so cool about it, about what you're saying, is you could have been being right and being that he should be a certain way.
Right.
And suffering and being mad and upset and, you know, becoming more and more angry.
Right.
And because you're able to kind of like stop for a moment and look yourself, particularly in this, there's no right way to be, gave
right.
you room to kind of, to begin to look at, well, what's going to make the difference here? You know, what's going to have me have what I need?
Right.
In this right. moment.
Right, right.
I could be mad later.
Right, right. And then today we could joke about it. We went to our in-laws and he's like, you know, he's like helping me put my coat on, and his parents are just cracking up. It's like, what did you do to him? And I was like, what are you talking about? And they're like, oh, he's being helpful. And I was like, okay, whatever. But he's like, yeah, she's a big baby. I got to dress her and I got to this. You know, so we could laugh about it today. But, you know, it took going through yesterday to get to today. And today was
and that's,
cool.
That's really so great, Clara. I'm glad you shared that because I heard two things. I heard part of what John said about how you could have been mad about it. And actually, you were in moments.
Mm-hmm.
You were being angry, and then you got, well, wait a minute. You know, why don't I just ask? So what I heard is when you heard that shoulda, coulda, woulda, and not like that registered that way, but, you know, my world, the shoulda, coulda, woulda, maybe, oughta, supposed to be, that's all fairy tale world and what's really in the present right here, what's in front of me. And that's what you did. You, like, said, okay, I can dwell in that shoulda, coulda, woulda world. What is it that I want? Oh, and maybe I have to not have to. Maybe what there is for me to open my mouth. And you did that. And that's really great. Those are two things I heard that you did.
Yeah, super. Thanks, Lenard, for inviting me to the call.
Hey, you're
and
welcome.
And thank you, James, for accepting Lenard's invitation.
I'm an myself.
Oh, yes, that's the other part of it. It's a two-way process when you're dealing with that.
What's great about it is she's very generous with inviting me, and maybe one time out of every five or six or seven times I'll come, and it's just I happen to be here. The Lakers aren't on at the moment. No, that's a joke. So I said, okay, I'll come on the show. And it was like, well, I'm not doing anything. Let me come on the show. I missed the one about the, what was the last show about nothing to
There's
do?
There's nothing to do except be, right.
Yeah, that was a juicy, sexy, sexy one for me, but I missed that one. So, okay, I missed that one. Now this funny, comical topic is for the day. Let me come on this one. And it's, everything's in divine order, so I really got a lot out of the call. I'd like to thank both of, all three of you. And, yeah, I got a lot to support me and kind of like seeing that being clear about there's no right way to be, especially concerning other people in relationship to me, kind of like loosens this whole thing about expectation, which definitely is a big one for me. That's a big one. So thank you. I've been benefited enormously.
You're welcome.
Wonderful.
Thanks for your contribution.
And John, I would like to talk to you off the call when the call's over, John.
Okay. Yeah, you said that about 2-3 weeks ago.
But I got to have your phone number or something, so you can get my number from Lennar. We want to exchange numbers on the call. Maybe some people listening may get one of our numbers. You know what I'm saying? We don't know who's listening.
The world is listening.
The world is listening.
Right, and the people who this message is for are listening.
I have no problem with the world calling me.
Oh, okay. Well,
so James and the rest of the world, if you want to talk to me, John Thomas. Call me at 336.
No, I don't want to be responsible. Don't wait.
790-4123.
No, you have to start
and
over.
That
again,
number again.
That number again. Slow this time. To all those people in Russia and Africa and Asia.
It's only about you, James. You know it's only about you. So cut the crap.
Okay.
John.
Oh yeah, it's fine with me.
7-9-0-4-1-2-3. Okay, what I got is 367.
No, 336.
336-7-9-0-4-1-2-3. Perfect.
Shit. Hey, we can hear that.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, whoever's cursing.
The whole world heard that.
Oh, I thought my phone had just signed off again.
No.
Ooh.
No.
How about that, world? I'm trying to communicate with the world. I thought my phone went out.
Right. Please don't call. He's already apologized already. So please don't call him and tell him because he knows he apologized already.
Oh, my Lord.
I wonder what that was then.
John, that was me putting you into my phone, and I dialed you and disconnected.
Oh.
It may have been.
a butterfly flaps its wings in Chicago, and there's a rainbow in Thailand.
Wow. Speaking of which, you know, I'm in North Carolina, Clara's in New Jersey, and you guys are in Chicago.
Yes, you are.
I love this technology.
Yes, me too.
Okay, so James, you now have my number, and the rest of the world has my number. My biggest, my vision is big enough. Everybody call me. I'm sure there's a place in my vision for you.
Okay, Lennar, we could have started something that have profound ramifications here.
Ooh, awesome.
I don't know what he's talking about. But okay, whatever. Whatever you say.
All right, so Lennar, did you want to share about that? About the question?
About what?
About the
question.
The question, if you were to look in your life at any of the places where you may have a right way or a fixed way of being, about something.
And how that interferes with getting what you truly desire.
Yes. Thank you, James.
You're welcome, John.
If you notice any areas that it may be interfering with you getting what you want.
I'm looking at my life to see if there's something I want that's not here. It looks like, you know, I want a brand new car, you know, and I want a much bigger house. So it's like if I were to say something, it might be around those things. And my fixed way of being is, you know, I don't want to do all that work to get that, you know, all that hard work by myself. So are you talking about like that? You know, there may be some things like that. It's like, you know, that stuff might be nice to have, and I'm not willing to do that. So is that what you're speaking of?
Well, yeah, I'm speaking of that. I'm speaking of your vision being fulfilled, your goals being met, the relationships you have, just asking you to look to see if you notice any places where you might have a right way of being or a fixed way of being that is getting in the way of you having what you want.
Okay, so here's my answer to that. There probably are, and I'm content. You know, there are things like those things that I mentioned that I might like to have, but it's not like a driving force. It's not like a priority. So it's like in the moment, I'm content.
Okay, good.
Okay,
good. And, you know, and I was asking for more of a space to distinguish from, you know, like Clara shared about the emergency room. You know, so not so much about being content or not content or being happy, because it clearly sounds like we got four people on the call that's pretty happy with their lives.
Yeah.
You know, but actually,
you talk to me. Okay. You talk to me all the time. James talks to me all the time. Well, I talk to the two of you all the time. So you know me best. Tell me. You know, Clara's laughing. She probably might want to offer something. What do you see? Because I'm here like, you know, I'm kind of, listen to this. I'm kind of how I am, which is definitely a fixed way of being, right? And I'm okay with that. Right?
I'm kind of the way I am.
Yeah. And it's about a fixed way of being. You know, I'm the way I am. And I'm okay with that. And I'm learning and I'm growing and, you know, and I'm okay with that too.
All right.
So
I'm okay with it too. I just thought you might have had an example you wanted to contribute. So
yeah, I'm saying, do you see something? Because I, you know, if you can give me one, I'd be happy to expound on it. And honestly,
okay.
As I was looking, okay, go ahead. You got something for me?
Yeah, I got something. Let's talk about having the world have access to the no-out
extension. Okay, so what's my fixed way of being about that? That, I don't know. You know, it's like I've gone around and around some different ways. Oh, okay, so this is what occurs to me. It's like I tried it, in my words, I tried, and notice that try word, your way, and James is always trying to tell me, well, when I see the passion or the fire or something.
Be a commando.
Like,
be a commando.
I don't have that around this. You know, I don't have it. And that's what there is. It's like, yeah, that's what there is about it.
So you tried it some other way.
I tried it James's way. I tried it John's way. And now what there is given what James said and given what John said, you know, I'm doing something and it occurs to me that there is movement. Now, it may not be movement in the necessary arena of no out there, but stuff is showing up. Like that presentation I did this weekend, some people got to see me. You know, but it wasn't about no out there, and I shared a bit about it. So maybe that's the way. So it's kind of like that was given to me by life, you know, given through me. And so maybe life has got a way for it to occur, to unfold. And so what I'm finding in this moment is by just kind of like the thing we were talking about this morning, John, like I'm clearing out that waterway that had all those clumps in there. I'm just clearing up my own stuff, and opportunities and ways are showing up that may not make any sense to me about it, and those opportunities are showing up. Does that answer that question at all?
Given that we're having a conversation of no right way to be?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because that's my way. Right.
That's your way.
And that might not even be my way. That's a way that's unfolding to me. Because it's really weird to me. You know, I'm like, well, you know, why aren't I doing this? Why aren't, you know, John told me all that, and I'm doing this, and I built a website, and okay, so maybe I'm not doing all that, like, advertising. There's some things to do on the website, but, you know, I added this now, and so that's there. And then James is saying, be a commando. And I'm like, you know, I just don't have that about this. You know, like, the way you used to be about the summit, it's like, yeah, that was then, and I'm not even doing that now. I'm doing it this way. So, yeah. I got it. So this is a way, and the question was that a fixed way of being that's not having my vision or dream manifest. And the best I can say is I don't know that it's not having it show up. It's occurring the way it's occurring.
Okay, good. All right, any final comments, final thoughts, insights?
I am with that there are many ways to be. There's no right way to be. You know, there are ways to be, it's just that they're not right ways to be.
Okay, good. Anybody else? Hold on a second.
I have an announcement. Cool.
Well, before we get to announcement, just hold on a second, darling. Claire or James, anything for you?
No, I just want to thank you for this opportunity to share. It's been a really, 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 really great time for me. And this was cool. I'm glad actually I was able to just get on the call.
I'm glad you were here too. Thank you. And you're welcome. James, you still there?
Well, there's numbers here, but he may not be. He might have us on mute.
All right. Well, I thought it was a good call.
Okay. Now I got a right way to be.
Yeah. You do. Well, let me finish. I thought it was a good call. I actually just got to see for myself, because particularly around that real estate incident, as I was sharing it, I was getting how much of a right way to be that I was in the moment of it. And I hadn't actually distinguished it, you know, like distinguished what happened and what shifted and how it shifted, to be present to it. until tonight. So thank you for that. Thank you for being the space for that, for me to see that. It's going to add to some of the other places where I definitely have a right way to be about things. And before we get to announcements, Lenar, you have a right way? You have something you want to share?
Yeah, but this is a show. We're used to doing so many conference calls, and so on. Well, this is a great call. Hey, we're on the radio show. And
oh, yeah,
you have
right.
to call in. Oh, see? So I'm right.
Yeah, you're right. You know, because it's very similar
right.
to me, and I have to keep clearing myself that we're on the internet.
Right.
This yeah. is a live broadcast.
Right.
This is a radio show.
Right.
Except I'm on my telephone talking
right.
to you and Clara and James and other people like I always do.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I got it. Very good.
Well, thank
Thanks
you.
Thanks for helping me distinguishing that.
And I actually had – oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, and of course my right way to be now is I'll never make that mistake again.
That's your knee-jerk right way. And maybe that's the distinction. Maybe we maybe there are some knee-jerk right ways.
Right.
Knee-jerk. Or fixed ways.
So we got some shows coming up, right?
Right, but you know, I got another. I just want to ask about this. I want to ask about this, about the fixed way, because something came up, and yes, we do have some announcements. Is the commando leadership style, is that a fixed way of being?
Yes.
Yes.
Was that Clara who chimed in first?
aye, Captain.
Yeah, so that if I because I was looking, I said, "What? That's what?" Because that's been up lately in my life here, and I said, "If there's a fixed way of being that I have, like there's a right way to do it, that may not, you know, that may be hindering my vision from showing up, and you know, whatever, like the bumps in the road, that is probably one of them." Because I have this thing about it doesn't have to take forever. Also, you know, I want things to look a particular way. I want the summit to be well represented, to look good, like slick and glossy when it goes out. And not because there's nothing behind it, because in my world, there are people who send out a lot of fluff and glory. And then when you get behind it, it's nothing but puff and smoke. So we're not that. And I want the summit to be well represented. I want it to look good. So, I have ways that I think things ought to go, like the setting up the announcements for the show ahead of time so you don't have to think about them. And that is my way of doing it. And, yeah, I'm the team commander. And see, notice I said commander.
It's commander.
I'm the team leader, so, yeah, you know, I want the team to do it my way because that works. So, yeah, so I would say that is one of them. And I actually was on a call today with the Chicago Facilitator Group, and, you know, John, you and I talked about this, and I subsequently talked to James about it and actually got some clarity about it. But there are, like, 6 points that I feel what you know, move people through facilitator body a lot quicker than the 2 years or however long new people come in and sit on the phone talking. And so I shared that with them and, you know, said, look, this is what I'm offering. And like Claudia said, no less than this, this is what I'm offering. And yay or nay, you know, either way, for me, it's cool. So what I got from that is to communicate that that's my style. And if I'm team leader, you got to know that's my style. And if that doesn't work for you, don't get on this team.
Okay. Okay, well, I heard two things in what you said, two major distinct things. One was a question whether or not you have a right way to do something or to be about something in terms of the commando coach. And then I heard that's my style. So unless...
Okay, go ahead.
So just help me out here. I heard like an opening, like a place for you to start looking and exploring to see where it may be getting in your way in terms of causing or having what you want. And then at the end of it, I hear it's like, this is my style, basically. You should know this before coming on board, take it or leave it. And I'm not sure that that's what you were attempting to communicate totally, but I'm just now checking in with you because I heard both parts.
So it wasn't about the commando coaching.
Okay.
That was not the business. It was about the facilitator body, and it might show up one and the same, but I don't think so because I actually do something different in the commando coaching. And I might want to look at that because how I deal with clients is different than how I was dealing, how I was approaching the facilitator group. So that may be something to look at. But I pretty make no bones about it. I did say to that team, look, this is it. This is what I'm proposing. And, you know, if you want to be part of this, okay, great. And if you don't, that's great too. So, and I know John may not have heard that because I'm in the back office and you popped off. Did you hear what I said, John?
No, I didn't.
Okay, that's fine, and I was explaining that I'm in the back office of the show, so I saw that you had dropped off and now you're back. So what I said is, you know, what I do in commando coaching is a little different with clients, and I may want to look at that I'm different with the clients than I was with the Chicago Facilitator Group, and that may be because I have it that the clients aren't not part of the, you know, they're not in the facilitator group. They're not there for training. The clients are there for a different purpose. But for the Chicago facilitator group, yes, I did say to them, look, this is what I'm offering, and if you want to do this, fine. And if you don't, that's fine too. I did say that, and I'm okay with it.
Okay, good. And what did they say?
They're in.
Okay, good.
They're like excited. They're like, hey, you know, thank you for, because I apologize for my behavior like the week before. And, you know, I apologize like, you know, like I got some clarity. I told them that I had, you know, cleared here and there, that I had been in conversation about it. And that when I was like, you know, cutting people off and doing whatever, that I knew I was doing it. And I didn't care. That I was like, you know, someone of you said in this conversation, I don't say F you, I said screw you. I say screw you. So I was like, you know, screw you. If you want to treat me like I'm the person on the curb and not like I have all these gems, you know, to offer you because I've been doing this long and I was this, you know, the first person out of the facilitator body group to be designated senior facilitator. You know, first there were five and then there were six and I was number six. It's like, and you don't think that, like, counts? It's like, hey, I don't have to be here. I can invest my time somewhere else. So I laid out what I saw as beneficial, get them on board, you know, like up to speed, presto changeo. So they said, we're in.
Wonderful.
And like, it may not occur this way, John, but that was my version of unfolding in the conversation.
Well, yes, we got about 50 seconds left, but that was enfoldment.
Yeah.
It was enfoldment. You actually had the conversation, and then the enfoldment was occurring over there, whereas before it was just a lot of frustration. You were committed to something
right
that hadn't been fully communicated, and they weren't enfolded into it.
Right.
I think you should go ahead and do your announcements. We got about 26 seconds just to let everybody know next week there's going to be a conversation with the summit leader, Trevor Wilson. For those of you, we're about to lose in about 10 seconds. Tune in next week. And for those of you who are listening to the recording, you can hear the rest of the announcements. Go ahead, Lenar.
That was it.
Well, Clara's got a show.
Clara, because my thing always says the show is on but not singing, but it's recorded. So, Clara, your announcement?
Oh, I didn't have an announcement.
Aren't you doing a show with the youth, no?
Yes, I am.
Okay, what else you want to say?
Say again.
Okay, Clara's show, you're invited, will be on the air, what is that, April 20th?
Yes, it's the third Sunday.
The third Sunday of the month.
We're
so tune in and see what the International Black Summit youth are up to. I heard some of that on the call this weekend. Ali I is taking numbers, you know, and taking no prisoners.
Hello.
So, yeah, that girl is fierce.
What is she, a mini you?
No. I'm cute. I want to take lessons from her. Uh-oh.
Cool.
Well,
right,
this is a wrap for me. I don't know about you, John and Clara.
I thought it was awesome. I'm glad I was able to get on. That was an accomplishment for me.
Well, I'm glad you were here too.
All right, wonderful.
James, if you're there, thank you for being here.
Yes, you're welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
All right, guys. See you next week.
Okay, have the very best week of your eternal life.
Eternal life.
All right, good.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.